what I want to talk about this morning, again, starting primary basing in Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7, where it talks about the simple one. The father refers to the man, the young man, the old man, that falls into a sin like this as being the simple one. Verse 7 of Proverbs 7, verse 1 says, "My son, keep my words. Listen to what I'm saying." It jumps down. Verse 5 says, "You know, keep thee from the strange woman." The strange woman. And then verse 7, of course, refers to the man who falls as the simple one. Someone who's lacking sense, he's naive, simple-minded, void of understanding. Here, he's called a fool. Alright, the simple one. This morning we're going to look at three people. The simple one is the one, the ignorant fool who falls into this sin. We're going to look at the woman. Then we're going to look at the wise son in the end. I hope if we have time for the last one. But the simple one is a fool. It refers to him again, as I said, one who lacks any kind of common sense. He's a fool. That's a strong word even in the English language. You call someone a fool, even though the word coming out of your lips has a sense of disdain. Fool. The psalmist, really, or the writer of Proverbs, really refers to this one as a fool. He's a simple one, is what is referred to there. And let's look at, there's about three reasons why he calls him a fool. I'm going to have to run through this fairly quickly. Take notes. If you don't have a piece of paper, there's usually an extra clean sheet at the end of every hymn book. Just rip that out and... No, I'm sorry. I'm going to go quickly. What are the three reasons why he called him a fool? First of all, is because he thought he could just look on or just get close to the sin and not be affected. Isn't that something? He's a fool. He thinks he can just look at it or get close, dabble in it a little bit and not be affected. There, verse 8 says, passing through the street near her corner. Well, it was just near the corner. Looking down the street where she lives. I mean, he says he's a fool because he thinks that just by doing that, he's okay. And that's something how we fool ourselves. Or, you know, we can just dabble a little bit, or just look a little bit, or just indulge a little bit. It's fine, it won't hurt me. Folks, now, gentlemen, listen, this is nothing to trifle with. Unless you'd be a fool. Right? You stand on the street corner, you think you can just look, just dabble a little bit. You know, you don't need to walk very far down the street to fall. Just to pause on the corner, just to gaze, can turn your heart, can trap you. Let's move on quick. The other reason why he was a fool, he thought the biggest danger was getting caught. Verse 9 says, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Now, why do criminals usually try to do their dastardly work in the night? Because they don't want to be seen, right? They don't want to be discovered. Here's this man just walking down in the middle of the night, one standing on the corner, just gazing down, maybe just dabble a little bit. Why at night? His biggest fear was not the danger. His biggest fear was being seen. You see the misplaced judgment on this. He's not fearing the dabbling. He's fearing just being seen and found out. Verse number 3, the third reason why he was a fool, because he really gave no thought of the, listen, I got it underlined, the irreversible destructive consequences of his sin. Gentlemen, we need to look at there can be victory. We can talk about the victory of this, but consequences of, there's always a consequence of sin. It will mar our character, our spiritual walk, our judgment, our discernment. It always will leave its scar. He wasn't thinking about that. Yeah, I just dabbled a little bit. It's fine. Nobody will see it. Nobody will know. It's all right. Not understanding that really what he was doing was putting himself in huge danger. His greatest fear was the shame or embarrassment of getting caught. He knew he was doing wrong. That's why I went at night. Okay? You know, some men think it's all right to compartmentalize in their minds or in their hearts a particular sin. Hey, it's all right, I got locked away. Nobody knows. Fools, if we think that way. It's irreversible. Here he goes on in chapter 7, verses 22, flip it over, he describes the effect of this. He gives there's vivid imagery that the writer of this proverb is using to picture those who follow strange women's ways, who are willing to partake in this. What is it like? He says it's like an ox to the slaughter. Think about an ox going to the slaughter. He's clueless. He has no idea what he's doing. Someone's holding a carrot out in front of him. There he goes. Until finally that 2x4 hits him right across the front of the nose there, or the bullet behind him. I mean, whatever. However they slaughter these animals. Foolish. Oblivious to what's going on. Just following along that carrot. He says, you know, what a fool. They give no thought for the irreversible destructive consequences of their actions. Then he goes on in verse 22. Also says, it's like a fool being disciplined in the stocks. You know what stocks are? You think of, I remember in the junior high school, elementary school, studying about the pilgrims coming over, and they always had the stocks, right? They had these way of punishing people, these standing up or sitting down, put their head and their arms through. I mean, there's nothing they can do to defend themselves. They are prisoner to this. And that's the idea. You are a prisoner to this sin. You become as a fool being corrected in stocks. You're powerless to defend yourself against it. I think that is a fearful, fearful condition to be in with any sin, where it is so dominating you that you cannot control it. You know, talk open. I mean, even as a teenager, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in a vile situation. Teenagers, men bragging about how many women they can have. They're slaves to it. They think it's a great thing. But yet, they brag about how strong they are, but yet they are powerless against that temptation. They're weak. Calls them a fool. A fool. The third thing, as he describes his imagery of those who follow, there is a dart that goes through the heart. He says he doesn't realize the harm until it strikes him in the deepest part of his life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 talks about sins that war against the soul of man. I mean, it pricks down into the very soul of the individual, this sin does. Let me move on. And then the last picture he gives of this is a bird caught in a trap. I mean, it's happened so quickly. You picture setting a net, having some bird seed or something down, you have a net a little bit off the ground, a small net, the bird flies down, thinks he's going to get that seed, and gets his feet caught in the net, he's trapped. It happens so quickly. And the writer here is saying it's the same way. It happens so quick, so fast, but once the trap is sprung, it's too late. See, he's painting the picture of this simple one and what happens to the one who follows this path. You know, the simple one, a fool. Gentlemen, we need to challenge each one in this, keep each other accountable in this area. You know, if any of us here is struggling with this, you know, pornography, thought life, or worse. Well, I say worse, how can it get any worse? But you know what I mean, just the actions, the physical actions. Gentlemen, you need to be sorrowing greatly because you're a fool. Sorrow needs to consume you. until you can get the sin right and to cast it from you. There is victory, gentlemen. There is victory. I'm probably looking at a group of men that don't... Wonderful. Wonderful. But someday you're going to be counseling someone, you're going to be encouraging someone, you're going to be dealing with someone, and you need to help them to see that this is one of the most destructive paths that a man can go down in. But that there is victory over it. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Let's move on to the next. So we saw the simple one, the fool, the young man. Now let's look at the strange woman. What does this passage reveal to us about her? Now here's the other side of the coin. Strange, this strange person. The idea is that she's a foreigner. She's the ultimate illegal immigrant. Alright? Has no right being in our lives. I mean, this is, talk about illegal immigration, boom. Man, this is the ultimate. This woman, this individual, who would seek to be where she ought not be. Her characteristics, a couple of verses here, I think from Proverbs that mentions the strange woman. Proverbs 22 verse 14 describes her as a deep pit. Those who are abhor the Lord are going to fall into it. Wow. That's a pretty harsh description. Here's this one. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. I remember a couple of years ago, and every once in a while in the news in the summertime, you hear about somebody working on a utility drainage ditch or something. I mean, he's 12 feet down into a ditch. I'm thinking, they say, yeah, well, that's about 2.5-3 feet wide and 12 feet deep. I'm going, not me, buddy. I don't know about you. It just does not appeal to me. But then all of a sudden you hear about one caving in on someone. And think of the imagery of that, the picture of that, the horror of that moment. You're down in there, you have a sense of security, but then all of a sudden, it collapses on you. The strange woman, that is the picture that really, it'll trap you. And it's a horrific state to be in. Let's look at some of these characteristics, all right? What does she do? She seeks the fool. Now we notice that the simple one is standing on the corner. He didn't go down the street, he just stood on the corner and just gazed down the street. But guess who's waiting on the corner? I mean, she's there. She is seeking someone who's standing on her corner, who's willing to look down that path of temptation. Verse 10, chapter 7 here says, and behold, there met him a woman. I mean, she came out to the corner. As I say, you don't have to go down the street. She'll be seeking a fool. She also lieth in wait for him as prey. And increaseth the transgressors among men. Gentlemen, we don't have to go very far. She'll find us. The temptation will be there. For many, many years, prided myself. We have filters on our internet. I wouldn't have internet if I didn't have a filter. I mean, that's the way it is. And for years, you know, I challenged men and told them, gentlemen, I've never one time had something come up on my computer. And gentlemen, just avoid it. Just really just put the filters up and you don't have to be plagued by this thing. About 2 or 3 years ago, Saturday afternoon, I was upstairs looking up a weather site. I'm not going to go into details, but I was typing what I thought was this for weather. Bang. I was so shocked. I jumped up and screamed. I ran downstairs with my wife, and she was working on a project in the basement. My computer's in an open space in her home, but she was downstairs. And I said, no, I can't believe it. No, it's ruined. I can never say that again. There it is. Oh, no. Will you go up there and take care of it? I mean, I was so upset about this thing. But after I thought, I said, you know, wait a minute. No, it's good for me to share this. Gentlemen, even when you're not looking for it, she's looking for you. There's a way that they're trying to find a way to cause a man of God. I guarantee you, Satan is going to be looking to find a way to find you to fall. Even when it's the last thing for your mind, you're not even out there. She is seeking any opportunity she can. Gentlemen, you need to be prepared for it. I was so totally shocked. I couldn't tell what it was. I mean, it wasn't even, it just came up. There wasn't a whole lot going on. But as soon as it came up, I knew I don't make another click. And of course, then my wife, she contacted the filter that we have and made sure that they can protect anyone else from making the same mistake I did. Looking for a weather station? Come on. Because they were very subtle how they changed the wording. A weather page, but there was turning of two words around. I thought resist this, but it was actually this in the address. And by doing that, they knew they could catch some people. But where the filter wasn't catching because it didn't have any. Understand? She'll be out there looking. She seeks the fool. She's out there doing, and she also attracts the fool. The fool will go, hey, wow, never thought of that before. Boy, this is quite the weather page. I'm going to put me a, I'm going to remember this one, the filter's not catching it. Boy, you see, the fool responds that way. Gentlemen, we need to determine right now if that happens to us, we're going to jump up and scream. We're going to run to wherever our wife happens to be in the house or find the accountability we need and say, hey, will you come turn this thing off? I mean, whatever. But the fool doesn't respond that way. No, she comes to him and says, with the attire of a harlot. I mean, she attracts them. And then she's desirous only to a fool. I mean, really, come right down to it, gentlemen. Think of this. Look how he describes here in verse 11. Look in verse 11. And by the way, compare this to Proverbs 31, woman. All right, look at the total contrast that is here in verse 11. What does it say about her? She's loud. She's boisterous. How about you? I've been around some loud boisterous. I don't like that. I don't think most men like that, do you? That's the way she is. How else does he describe her? Describes her as unruly. Look at this. She is uncontrollable. She's stubborn. She's rebellious. And last of all, she is lazy. I mean, she doesn't stay in the house. I mean, she doesn't want to work. She doesn't want to take care of things. She doesn't want to wash her. I mean, honestly, anybody want to be married to a woman like that? You see what I mean? Only a fool would think, because on the outside, everything looks great on the outside. The inside is wretchedness. And it will, only a fool would say, that's the gal I want. Look how pretty she looks. Problems. And she, another of her characters, she lurks everywhere. And some of this, a little repetitious, but we find her in verse 12. Now she's without, she's in the street, she's lying in wait at every corner, every place. And what are her seductive actions? What does she do? Moving along here, she entices him. There's eye contact. In fact, gentlemen, be careful of this. I taught my son these things. Be careful, eye contact. Eye contact says something. Right? Flirting starts, first of all, with eye contact. True? Then there was physical contact. She caught him and kissed him. You don't have to, I mean, just touching. You don't touch another woman. If another woman touches me, I back off. There was a time down in Mexico when we were trying to start this little church in the little city there at Tamosunchali, that there was, we were in a small house, a room opened up to the street, and one Sunday morning while I was trying to preach, there was a woman standing in the doorway trying to seduce me. In English, I turned to my wife and says, "Paula, there's a gal and a woman that you need to take care of. You have my permission to dot her eyes." So I told her. She knew what I meant. She went out there. A few months later, came back in. Never saw that woman again. I don't know what happened, and I didn't ask. But there was that eye contact. There was that. I could tell that this was not wholesome. Now, words, things that are spoken, careful what we say. I mean, she flattered him with her words. And gentlemen, how we talk with other women, how they talk with us. You know what I'm talking about. You can cue in on certain things that are being said. Favors and gifts. I go over this with the men in my office. Every new man that comes to my office, I go down this list. No favors. Don't give favors, don't take favors. If you can do a favor, do it to all the set as equal. You don't single one out. You don't touch them. You don't stand behind them. You don't gaze over them. I mean, I go through this with my men. To maintain an appearance, at best, what goes on. But here she says, "I've decked my bed with coverings and tapestries, carved words with fine linen of Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. All for you. All for you, you." Yeah, right. And every other one comes along. The words can be used to entice people. And of course, sexual activity. She caught them, she took them, and they fell. We move on. So she enticed him. Then she gives false assurances. Don't worry about it. The good man, my husband, he's not home. I mean, he's going on a long journey. He's taking a bag of money with him, and he won't come back till the day appointed. And that's not until 2 weeks from now, so we're good. See, the false assurances, hey, don't worry about it. It's fine. You won't get caught. It won't hurt anything. Nobody will know. This is the way of a woman who commits adultery. She eats, wipes her mouth, and says, "I haven't done anything wrong." I mean, just totally wipes it away. As though there was no problem with it. The trap at this point has been sprung. The simple one, the fool, is caught, and whose consequences will ever be borne by that man. Okay, so we saw the simple one, the fool, the young man, the woman, the strange woman, that stranger. Now let's look at this. So we saw the simple one, the strange woman. Now let's look at the wise son. The response to this temptation. And it becomes a father's concern. "My son, hear my instruction." And he wants them to see. He wants him to finally make his decision about this. Gentlemen, you need to just make, we just all need to make the decision. It's interesting how so many of the world say that true pleasure is in perversion and lust. You know what? The man that makes the most wonderful discovery that the greatest pleasure is in purity of heart, mind, and actions. Gentlemen, you agree with me with that? I mean, it is. It really is there. There's a discovery that once a man makes that discovery, he realizes that truly all the lies of the world, all the perversion, all the commercials, all they want to say is good and healthy and fun and this is the how to really enjoy life is a lie. When we can break away from that, and it's a wonderful discovery. The greatest privilege, the greatest pleasure is found in purity of heart, mind, and actions. The Father says, "Hearken unto me, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Listen to me. Now, my son." First of all, be wise about her ways. Here's the Father's instruction. Again, it's perverted. It's a lie. Be wise about this. Don't be the simple one. Don't be the fool that falls so easily prey to this. Let not your heart decline to her ways, he says. Don't be fooled. She's cast down many before you. Many strong men have been slain by her. Many, many. You know, I wonder how many times a woman, or even a man who was seduced a woman, says, "Oh, but you're the only one I finally found true love, and you're finally it." Liar. She said that 50 other times. I mean, not to say someone cannot find true love. I understand what I'm saying. I'm just saying, in this situation, in this context, she's wounded many. She's ripped down many. She's destroyed many. Don't be fooled by that. She lieth in wait for as a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Multiple, multiple men have been destroyed. Don't be fooled by her way. And he says, "My son, know that her way will never satisfy. I had attempted, or I didn't attempt, I was thinking about this, but then I was fearful to do so. I wanted to get on the internet and just ask and find out, is there anything out there that talks about how much money in a year is spent in the United States on pornography?" There was years ago, I heard someone say that there's millions, if not, I don't know if it'd be, if I could, we throw these billions and trillion words around like they're nothing. But all I can say is, it is a major business. In fact, now someone said that they're asking that they have part of a bailout. Have you heard that too? I'm going, give me a break. A bailout? I don't think so. There will always be men willing to, you know, to pay and buy. And I mean, but it's the millions of dollars every year spent. Why? Because a man will buy one book. Then after a while, he's tired of it. He's got to buy another one. What happened? See, it never satisfies, my friends. It is an addiction. And then they wonder why they never get satisfied in this. And in their own homes with their wives. I mean, can you see my point? It will never satisfy. Maybe for a brief moment, but then it's done. It's over. There's no interest in those same pages anymore. Her way will never satisfy, gentlemen. It's a drunkenness that will just lead to more worthless destruction of your own soul, your mind, your marriage, your bank account. I hear in this week the news about, what was it, National Arts Foundation or something, that the whole place is full of these guys who are full of, what do you call them, pornographists? Is that a word? It is now. I just used it, I guess. I mean, they're so controlled by it. It'll never satisfy. And this leads you to more bondage. You'll be locked into this. Real quick, I got just a few minutes. You need a guard. We need to be guarded from her way. Don't go in her paths. The last of all is to be cleansed of her way. What do we need to do, gentlemen? I got a list of just a few things. I mean, I can come up with a list of another 20 things, probably. Have a relationship with your own wife, your own spouse, number one. Avoid places of temptation, too. Talk with your families about dangers. Take something like this little sheet I gave you and look up your own. Something that you feel comfortable giving to your sons. Take, be proactive with it. Teach them. Speak with them about that. Internet filter. If you don't have an internet filter, you need to have one. A good one. Safe Eyes is what we use. There's accountability with it. Never be in a situation alone with someone of the opposite sex. I mean, I could go down the list of all kinds of, as far as being able to guard yourself. But what do you do, gentlemen, if you find yourself in this? How do you cleanse your way? Number one, you need to be sorrowful over that sin. You need to go before God and confess your sin to God. But number two, I ask men to do this. Seek help from a spiritual authority. But it's embarrassing. You know what, gentlemen? You want victory over this? Take the right steps. I've had men over the years who have come to me and said, can I take you lunch? Yeah. Brother, boy, I need someone to hold me accountable. Will you hold me accountable? I've struggled with this. Help me out. Thank you, brother. Absolutely. You know what? I gained such respect for that man. He's wanting to do it right. My opinion of him is not lesser because he does. It's greater because he's taken the right steps. He's found himself in sin. He's making the right action. He confessed it to God. He seeks out spiritual counsel and accountability. Are the things that you need to do to cleanse your way of this sin. Get it out of there. And gentlemen, it's difficult. Years ago, let me say this. I'll just be frank, okay? I was raised in a home, a very vile home. Pornography stashed in every corner. Liquor, you name it. Okay? I have none of that in my mind right now. Probably if I were to go back and start filing, go through those file cabinets somewhere in the deep crevices of my mind, I could probably pull some of those. Listen, it's gone. But it took a long time. Over years ago, we went to visit some friends of ours. They were getting ready to paint their house a blue, like a country blue. Why did they paint the outside of the house country blue? That's what they wanted to do. But paint can, I'm telling this very quickly because our time's going by. The paint cans fell down behind the tire of the car one day in the driveway before they painted the house. They backed up the car. The paint can exploded. Boom. Blue paint all over the driveway. And they got out there with hoses and they were scrub. They got a lot of it up. But 2 years later, you go back, you know what you see on the pigment, and you see down the crack? Blue paint! It gets in there. You understand? One look, gentlemen, one look is like just in an instant, it's there. And scrubbing out is tough. But I'm going back now, years later, and you really can't even see it. It's gone. Good. Now, I use this as an illustration, gentlemen. One look, it's just that peering down that corner, standing on the corner, and just. You know what? It can stick. You know what I'm talking about. And it, scrubbing it out is almost impossible. But gentlemen, you need to file it away and distance yourself from that. Confess your sin before God. Ask for His strength. Seek accountability and counsel. And gentlemen, you can. And what a wonderful state to be in. To be free from that. My time, this first session this morning, this family, emphasis on the home and the family. Gentlemen, it starts really right here. The strength of our character before God, before our wives, before our family. And there's a lot of men in this one area have just totally blown it. It's time that we recapture our churches, and we have men who are godly, who are seeking purity in their lives. Let's get our churches back to purity. I mean, anymore, it wasn't in the world, but it's in our churches now. Let's reclaim our church. What a blessing. The church you have here. And I'm delighted, by the way. I couldn't wait to come visit you. I'm excited about this. But here I got a group of men, the leadership of a church, of your homes. Let's reclaim in our lives. And let's do it right here in this church. Purity. Strength of purity. Accountability. Helping each other so that this church can, with God's help and strength, really be a church of purity, not a simple church, ignorant, foolish, carnal. I went very quickly through all this, didn't able to make as much application as I was hoping to, but the basics are there. Go through the book of Proverbs, read those verses, study through it, and ask God to make of us men of committed purity. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you now that you will help each one of us. We know that you will. You'll give the strength as we ask. You'll give us the wisdom as we ask. That here in our own personal lives, number one, our walk with thee will be right. Our relationship and our walk in our homes will also be pure. And Lord, our testimony and our witness and our ministry through the church here will also be one that shows forth great strength of purity and godliness and righteousness. Help these men. Help us, Lord, to be able to flee these lusts. Anyone here that is struggling, give him the character and the strength, Lord, to seek help and accountability, Lord, that he too can glory and wonder in the magnificent position of the glory and the privilege and the pleasure of purity. And I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.